Welcome back to Talk of the Town, Buckeye Country 107.7. Dave Doney, Joel Riley, our special guest this morning, Heath Mayer, Mark Johns. Beautiful start to the day, mostly sunny skies, high in the upper 60s, maybe even touch 70 today. Clear skies tonight, and then pretty much sunny skies the rest of the week. So this should be a nice week to get out and do things. We were just joking, Mayer, the voice of the Heath Bulldogs football team. I think you do basketball as well. But, Joel, you asked, well, how does he call a game when it's kind of one-sided? I said, don't worry, my man was into that game Friday night. Am I right?
I was. Hey, it's a rivalry game. I've said it before to people. I never, ever, do anything, say anything that puts down, the opposing team, and certainly, not their players. It's not a disrespect type of thing. However, when you're playing at Heath, it's a Heath home game, mm-hmm. and I'm going to get the home fans pumped up if I can. So that was what Friday night was about.
That's awesome.
Let's just say he kept it live. And that's hard to do. I mean, when a game is, again, God bless them, they tried their best, but when a game is that out of hand, it makes it hard. Yeah. I mean, it's not an easy thing to do.
Yeah.
And you did a very nice job.
There were a lot of yellow hankies thrown, yes, on the field throughout the night. And at one point, I couldn't even mask my disgust anymore, and I said something like, "And there's flags all over the place again." I couldn't help myself.
No, I heard that.
Getting ridiculous
again. Your voice travels well.
Well, PA, public address announcer. So I mean, come on
when
now.
You said that, I started to snicker. I'm like, he's right, they're everywhere. I mean, what do you say? I know Rennie was talking about, my God, it seemed like every other play was a penalty, but yeah. Again, it's so much fun, and it's a down year for the Bulldogs. I don't think anybody's going to argue that, but
sure,
it's still a lot of fun on a Friday night.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. I mean, Swank Field, there are few better places, yeah, that I can think of that I've been to for a high school football atmosphere. Yeah. I mean, it's a great place to be on a Friday night when the Bulldogs are playing at home.
I've been there many times for track meets, so... Mm.
Yeah.
I feel you.
And here's the other good thing about Friday night. And there's a lot, but it was military and first responders appreciation night. Again, every school does it a little bit different, but they all do a nice job. But I thought it was a nice touch. I think I heard you say, hey, any veteran, please come down on the field. We want you to be there when the kids run out of the tunnels. It was a special night.
Yeah, and any veterans, any active military, any current or former first responders were welcome to come onto the field before the game.
That's awesome.
And as the players took the field and lined up for the national anthem, they were welcome to be there with the players on either side,
yep,
of the field. Mm-hmm. And there were quite a few that I saw down there, and I was glad to see that because, yep, we should show our appreciation for them as frequently as we can.
Amen.
And if I'm not mistaken, maybe I am, but was that the new fire truck I saw?
That
there?
Was the new
nice
Tower 51.
Yeah.
Yes, we had just taken possession of it last Tuesday. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday were training days for our staff with the new tower. It is a little different. Every truck is a little bit different, and so you want to make sure that they're familiar with it and have been trained up on its use and where everything is and that kind of thing. But yeah, it looked pretty sharp. They had the lights on, the boom as it went out, and then on the American flag itself.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah. People, I think, sometimes forget that, you buy these apparatus. They're not going to last forever, especially something that gets a lot of work out on it. And you talk about ladder trucks, how important they are, but they're also pretty penny. It's not like they come cheap.
No. The tower truck that we now have costs $1.6 million. And it was like a demo. I mean, we got a bit of a break on it. Once they had built it out, the company that built it took it around to some trade shows in the area. And it's been ready for a couple of months, but they were part of the agreement, right? It was a demo. They were taking it to trade shows. And so $1.6 million, and we actually got a little bit of a price break.
Wow.
But the fact of the matter is you guys know we have a lot of industries in our city, mm-hmm, and in our area, we have a lot, you know, we have the Indian Mound Mall facility, and sometimes you really need to get that elevation and get up on top of a structure to have water come down, you know, right on top of where you need it to be. You need a piece of apparatus like that. Our old tower truck lasted more than 20 years. Hmm. So it's not like, you know, our fire department's not taking care of their equipment. They certainly do. And I know the department staff and city council and myself, we're appreciative of the people in Heath that support the fire levies and other issues, you know, that we put on the ballot in the city to help make the purchase of equipment like that possible, because those type of things are essential to have. When you need them, you got to have them.
Mm-hmm. Well, so when you're haggling for your car with your son the next time, just look over him and go, hey, Junior, it ain't $1.6 million.
Nope.
Make a deal here.
Nope.
Because, I mean, that's now, is that something, and I look at your agendas when they come in, and you folks, you know, your safety committees and then the breakdown from police and fire, is that something, though, that you kind of always are asking those questions, hey, what do you guys need? Not that we can purchase every, we can't get new police cruisers, but I think there's something on tonight's agenda where you guys are doing stuff. I mean, is that something where you're kind of staying in touch with the chiefs and saying, okay, how's our equipment looking?
Yes, and obviously you try to long-term plan for equipment rotation. In the police department, for example, we're on a pretty good schedule right now of every year we're rotating out and putting in service two new police cruisers, you know, because, again, you need those things. You need them on the road, and they have to be on the road and not in the shop. Mm-hmm. And so they do have a lifespan. You know, those engines are pretty much always running in order to keep the battery charged because of all the computers and the other equipment that are in the patrol cars. And so they don't last forever. I mean, they don't last like a passenger car does for any of us.
Yeah.
And so every year we're rotating a couple of police cruisers out. In fire department, you know, you've got squads, rescue trucks, fire trucks, and then, of course, the tower. And so we do have long-term planning for those capital improvement needs. And every year, and we're coming up on that time again now, every year, you know, we put together the city budget, but we also, I work with the department heads to take a look at what their requests are for capital improvements. And then we have to make, they don't get everything they want, right? We have to make some decisions because we don't have, you know, we don't print our own money in the city of Heath. But you know, I think that, you know, we have some pretty good planning, and then that long-term planning helps as far as making sure that we've got equipment that when our citizens need it, it'll be there.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting, Mayor, a lot of entities anymore, like you look at last year's budget and we've got to spend it all to make sure we get more next year. Is that kind of how your budget works?
No.
How does it work?
No, not necessarily. I mean, when we look at our budget, we've always taken the approach of, okay, we're going to overestimate how much, you know, we might be spending on things, not just capital improvement items, just talking general operational. Mm-hmm. We're going to overestimate on how much we might spend, and we're going to underestimate a little bit on what our revenue is going to be. If there's a surplus, which, I mean, there usually is, that money just rolls into our general fund, rolls into our budget stabilization fund and other areas. It's not huge amounts of money each year, because I'm a firm believer that people pay taxes to receive services, especially from their local government, right? Mm-hmm. They don't pay taxes in order for the local government just to sit on the money and make interest off of their tax money. Mm-hmm. They pay taxes to receive services, and that involves equipment and manpower and other things like that. So we don't have huge amounts of money every year that we're in the black, but we do okay, you know. And the way that we budget, I think, helps to make that happen.
Mm-hmm. Cool. How often, how closely are you working with the finance department when it comes to the budget? I mean, now that you're getting towards the end of the year, we had Tesla Mayor Mike Compton here. He said, you know what, we're trying to get this done as quickly as we can, so we're not penny-pinching at the last minute. Is this something, you know, is it, do you start in August? Are you starting it throughout the whole year? Or are you just like, okay, here's where we're at. Give me some projections on where we're at with taxes.
I tell the department heads to start looking at their budgets end of September, early October. Council will usually pass the budgets in December. our we go on a calendar year for our fiscal year. So January 1 is the start of the new fiscal year. So we have to have a budget, you know, passed before then. So council usually passes the budget sometime in December. We put it together, like to present it to council, make sure they understand where they see significant differences in line items. Here are the reasons why, that kind of thing. It's a much of the budgetary process is somewhat routine, right? You can calculate payroll expense. You can calculate some of the other expenses based on past histories. Mm-hmm. You can figure out, okay, this is how much we're going to spend out of this line item or that line item. But sometimes, you know, there are things that you want to do in a year and you plan for it. And so you put that into the budget. Those are the types of things that we like to explain to our city councils so that they are informed.
Mm-hmm.
So is there anything big coming up in 2025?
Nothing special that I can think of, you know, off the top of my head. You know, we continue to do quite well as far as our neighborhood paving and curb replacement. We spend about $1 million, maybe a little bit more each year on that. That was something that we promised the voters of Heath that we would do when they increased the income tax in the city from 1.5% to 2%. That goes back, I don't know, maybe 7 years ago, 8 years ago now, something like that, that was passed. And we've continued, you know, to do that. Now, I will say, $1 million doesn't get you as much as it used to back then. You know, to replace curbs in neighborhoods costs as much as it does to replace the asphalt on the road. It's amazing how expensive it is. But we have some neighborhoods in the city that have had their curbs in place for 40, 50 years, and they're crumbling. And, you know, they need to be replaced, and they should be replaced in order to help keep the look of the neighborhood good and those kind of things.
Well, ADA so, accessibility, too, I would think you have to have.
Well, absolutely.
Stormwater. I mean, there's a lot of things.
There's a lot of factors that are out of the hands of the city, but that we have to, you know, get done. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of times people don't realize some of these other things that go into a project. They just see, say, you know, the paving happen, but they don't understand all the other different aspects of it, the ADA compliance and things like that, that you have to do.
Yeah, it's amazing. I know a big project that's going to be getting started soon because we were at a press conference a couple of weeks ago. We'll get into that in just a few minutes. You're listening to Talk of the Town on Buckeye Country 107.7.
Hey there, folks. Dave Doney here.
And Joel Riley.
We're your hosts for Talk of the Town, your go-to podcast for everything happening in our local community.
That's right, Dave. We dish out the latest on events, interview local leaders, and we sprinkle in a little fun.
More than a little fun. So whether you're a longtime resident or just passing through, join us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for a good time and the inside scoop on all things local.
Yeah, don't miss out. Hit that subscribe button now and never miss an episode on your favorite podcast platform.
Or visit our website at WNKO.com to stay in the loop. And if there's a guest, event, or topic you think we should be talking about, send us an email to news@WNKO.com.
I love it. Tune in and be a part of the conversation.
Welcome back to Talk of the Town, Buckeye Country 107.7. Dave Doney, Joel Riley, our special guest today. Heath Mayor Mark Johns. Beautiful day today, mostly sunny skies, high right around 68. Clear tonight, low near 40. That's beautiful. Open the windows and let it go. I don't know about the two of you, but I know, Joel, you're cheap. You turned your air conditioning off. Probably didn't even turn it on at all this year, did you?
I don't have air conditioning.
No, you bought one, though, in for one of the rooms.
Whatever.
You got one for
I got one window air conditioner. It was barely
on.
Goodness. Leave me alone.
See, there you go.
My goodness. I don't think my wife would stay in the house if we didn't have air conditioning.
Well, I should think about that.
Hey, now.
But it's been nice all weekend long. Just opened up all the windows.
This week is going to start to feel like fall, isn't it?
Beautiful weather. And again, you talked about Friday night. Nights over at Swank Field, how nice it is, and that's kind of weather we're going to have now for the next few days, so enjoy it. Nothing wrong with it whatsoever. Something that I know you have been wanting to talk about, and you and I were over, it was a couple weeks ago, over at the Davis Shea House, the Licking County Foundation, talking about some money that's going to be available to help with a huge project over in Heath. Maybe talk a little bit, if for folks who aren't exactly sure what we're talking about, that downtown project, so to speak, for the city of Heath and kind of where we sit right now.
Yeah. So, you know, for literally decades, it has been the goal of the city. Different mayors have worked on this to try to develop the land to the west of the Indian Mound Mall. I had heard one time that it is the largest farm that is anywhere within a city in the state of Ohio. And I can believe it because it's about 300 acres or so, right? So for a long time, it's been the goal to try to develop that area and to have it be like a downtown area or a city center type area for Heath, because we don't really have a downtown area in Heath. You know, we have Hebron Road, we have South 30th Street and you know, neighborhoods, but we don't have any kind of a downtown gathering place area. So for over 2 years now, we've been working with developers, school district, you know, builders, other pieces to the puzzle to try to bring about this type of an area on that land. And we've made a lot of progress on it. You know, it'll include a boulevard that'll have four-story buildings, first floor being retail commercial, and then the other three floors above it being nice apartments, some other apartments to the north of that, single-family homes, some ranch on slab, sort of 55 and over, empty nester type focused, you know, residential, and a assisted living center north of Target there, south of where some homes are. And been working for a long time on this and pretty excited, hopeful that it'll happen. You know, I say hopeful because if you know that nothing is done until it's done. Nothing is done until it's done in the development world. And so, you know, we've cleared quite a few hurdles. We still have some more hurdles to go, so we're not completely there yet. But I'm optimistic for it. And if it does get done, if it does get built out, I think it'll be a great addition to not just the city of Heath, but for, you know, central Licking County and Licking County as a whole. I think it'll be a great opportunity to have a location where people can gather, you know, where it's new and everything is looking good. That's our goal. And so we continue to work on that. I literally have at least once a week some significant meeting or something like that dealing with this, you know, development. There's, you know, other development prospects going on in the city, mostly residential related, and this downtown area, a significant part of it is residential focused. You know, trying to build an area in the community that is vibrant, exciting, you know, walkable, bikeable, you know, connecting these different elements. We continue to work on it, and I'm optimistic that in 2025, you'll actually see some dirt being moved and some things happening.
Is it all about cost to do this? I mean, is that what it comes down to? I mean, talking to, you know, when we were at that press conference, you know, it's kind of disheartening when you hear a Steve Lehman and some of the other contractors get up there and go, it's just... it is what it is. We got to find workers. We can't find materials. The cost of all this stuff. I mean, we all know cost plays a factor in everything you do. But boy, to have those folks get up there and say, hey, we want to get this done, but we need help with that.
Yeah, you know, for I've been saying for a while now, ever since the certainly since the, you know, recession of 2008, a lot of our smaller home builders in the area that would maybe do 6, 8, 10, 12 houses in a year, they got wiped out in that recession. And there has been a lack of new housing construction throughout Central Ohio for, I don't know, a decade and a half, let's say. And so, you know, a lot of people attribute the development activity that you see to Intel, and I'm not saying that Intel's not a factor in it. It is, but most of this is just pent up demand, pent-up housing demand that we that hasn't been filled for years and years now. And so you've got a lot of construction going on in the area. You got a lot of construction going on, you know, across the state. That drives up the cost of materials, also drives up the cost of labor, because unfortunately, there's just not enough of our kids getting into the skilled trades, you know, becoming electricians, you know, working in construction, HVAC people, you know, these types of jobs, great paying jobs. And thank goodness we have an educational institution like CTEC, because they have great programs for high school kids and post high school adults to get into these kind of jobs and get certified to do these things. And it's a great way to earn a really good income mm-hmm. without having to spend six figures on a college education. And I'd love to see more of our local kids and you know, young adults look to these types of jobs and get the skill sets that they need. That would be a big factor in getting some of those cost mm-hmm. Considerations improved.
Yeah, but when you hear, I mean, like I said, when you hear them talk about the price of wood and all that they've got to get and that, and then they're saying we just can't get our hands on it, and then if we do get our hands on it, we don't have people to put the things up and get them going. It was a little, I mean, it was a great day that day for what the foundation was doing, Lincoln County Foundation, but it was also a little sobering thinking, all right, they've got the money, but can they even spend the money? Which I know,
yeah.
Don't get me wrong, and no offense to you, I'm not saying it's just you. Politicians will always find a way to spend money. City government will always find a way to spend money, but they got to have the materials and the people to do it.
Yeah, you know, the approach that we take in the city is that we put a lot of the expense for infrastructure on the development, either upfront or over time. You know, if infrastructure is what's needed for development to occur, well, then they should pay for it. That's my belief. And that's our approach in the city of Heath. When we do these development agreements, that's the type of angle that we look at. And developers understand that, and they're okay with that, because they know that they should foot the bill. If they don't, well, then that's probably not a developer or a home builder that you really want to be dealing with mm-hmm. in your community. And I'm fine with that, you know, if that were to be the case. But
do you find you've lost people to that? I mean, folks who have walked away and said, you know what? No, we're not going to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. And at the end of the day, I get it. Right. It's a numbers game. Mm-hmm. It's a numbers game for them, but it's a numbers game for the city, too. And it's got to be a win-win. Everything has got to be a win-win when it relates to development. If it's not a win-win, it shouldn't happen. And it oftentimes doesn't.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm with you 100%. I mean, we're talking about, you know, I'm watching what happens out in my neck of the woods in Pataskala and these homes going in, and you're always thinking about infrastructure. And we've seen what has happened with Southwest, the Water Conservancy District, how that's kind of just blown up out there with those folks. So, I mean, you got to have that plan in place and be ready for it. All right, as you get ready now, just to kind of, you get ready for the holidays and those kind of things, anything else coming down the pike here at the end of the year for folks in Heath to keep their eyes on, or anything you want them to let them know about?
Yeah, you know, probably the first thing that comes to mind is this Saturday. And we were talking about the new tower truck that the Heath Fire Department has. Well, it and other equipment and our staff is going to be available for the public this Saturday at Station 51, which is on Heath Road. And they're going to have an open house on Saturday. I'd encourage people to attend. Of course, it's free. Lots of fun stuff. Kids love, mm-hmm. you know, being able to climb through the trucks and the squads. And our staff really enjoy the open house and talking to kids and adults about what they do and how things work and that kind of thing. So that's coming up this Saturday. I'd encourage people to go to the fire department's Facebook page, the city's Facebook page. You know, we're always trying to post things that are happening throughout the city at the Davis Shea House, other places on the city's Facebook page. That's sort of our main social media outlet that we use at the city. But yeah, this Saturday, I know the open house is always a good time for the people that are there, and great way to see a brand new mm-hmm. tower truck. Yeah. It looks nice.
Now, I will say this. We were down at the Big Brothers event a couple months ago down at Newark Station, and Newark had their truck up.
and they kept sending that ladder up higher and higher and higher. And I kept looking at folk, John Wilson, the director, Kristen Bellmeyer over there at Big Brother said, "You going to climb up that thing?" And all of us were like, "No." God bless. So if you, I mean, have you gone up one?
I've been
never
up 50 feet.
Yeah. See, I've never even attempted to climb up one. Now you can maybe put me in the bucket and then take me up. But Dave ain't walking up all them steps and then coming back down all them steps.
Part of the standard firefighter physical is that a firefighter in full gear has to climb up and down, you know, a ladder of that distance. And they have to do it within a certain period of time. It is no easy physical feat.
No.
And if you're in any way, shape, or form afraid of heights,
forget it.
Good luck.
That's what I said. I'm not going up. There was, we stood. I mean, you don't think about a height of something till you see it. Mm-hmm. And then you look up and you go, no, no, that's a special person going up there, and I'm not that special. So, yeah, it's amazing. Well, I know October is Fire Prevention Month, so, folks, that's why they do it.
Yes.
Get over there and,
that's right.
and check it out. You'll be behind the mic.
I will. Next
Friday night.
This coming Friday against Newark County.
You said
it's homecoming. Homecoming for the
Bulldogs.
You miss
that now that your daughters are gone?
A little bit.
Yeah.
It's different. I'll say that. I mean, it is different. Mm-hmm. But you know, the effort that the cheerleaders put forth on the track, the effort that the players put forth on the field, it's the same, right? Has been that way, is that way, and I'm sure will be in the future. And that's one of the reasons why I enjoy doing what I do still.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, my girls aren't down there on the track or down there on the baseline anymore cheering, but I still like to see, you know, the kids in the community putting forth that effort. It's great.
It's a little different, though, when your kids are down there.
Mm-hmm.
A little different. Because I, you know, I've done all the high school games, and the boys, the one was in band, the other one got some concussions, and he stopped playing. But when they did peewee football, and I did a little PAing over at Southwest Licking, it's hard not to get excited for, you know,
sure.
your little number 23, or your, because I remember their numbers, number 64 leading the block. It's a little hard not to be like, get excited for. So, I mean, I can only imagine for you, it was like, oh, cheerleaders, look at that little job.
I would miss plays because I would watch what my girls were doing, you know, with some stunts. Because, you know, Heath's cheerleading squad does a lot of great stunts and all that. And so I would sometimes get caught watching that and not the game. And I'd say, was that a pass or a run?
See,
and there's a dad. And when your kids are involved, you know, both my girls, you know, were cheerleaders, but the players on the field during those years, I knew a lot of them because my daughters were friends
with
them.
Well, one of them now is your son-in-law.
And one of them now is my son-in-law. That's right.
So, yeah. I mean, that's not too bad.
That's right.
I mean, that's pretty good. You get to call the kid while he's on the field. Now, all of a sudden, you're calling him son.
That's right.
He may be calling you other things. But.
He was inducted in the Heath Athletics Hall of Fame, first ballot, which Aaron.
Anybody saw the kid play, you'd know.
Unquestionably. Yeah, you deserved that. And, you know, they were, I'm pretty sure they were engaged at the time, or at least it seemed apparent that they were going to be getting married. Anyway, that was a treat for me to be able to announce him and all his achievements, you know, athletically in high school that earned him that, you know, first ballot honor of being inducted. That was kind of fun for me that night.
Well, so. Now his biggest achievement is he's a giant, you know, he's a part of the Johns family. He's got to deal with you guys. So that'll be the one. I think it's a Hall of Fame just for that. Well, Mayor, it's always a blast to have you in. There's so many good things happening in the city of Heath. Want to keep you in touch and let people hear what's going on.
I love coming in. I appreciate you guys having me come in anytime.
And here's a throw on to all the other mayors, Mike Compton. I'm talking to you. Mayor Johns brings us donuts, Mike. So let's get on this, Mayor Compton. I don't want any more of this.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Mayor Compton.
I don't want any more of this coming in and just saying hi, bringing something with you. But we appreciate it as always, and I'm sure we'll see you throughout the football season. We may be back out there one more time. Who knows?
Sounds good.